to you is entitled The Secret of Being Content. And with inside of that contentment, we pray, and I hope that you also find room to give thanks in your life for the things that you have, and also maybe the things you don't have as well, that God has blessed you with in that ability to do that. And so turn with me in your Bible this morning. The first one will be out of Proverbs 19, verse 23. One verse is our first reading. And then we'll flip to the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4 and 1 Timothy 6. And this goes well with our sermons on idols that we've been talking about the last several weeks, and it fits into that as well. So hear this morning, the word of the Lord, Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, then one rests content, untouched by trouble, is the proverb for us. And then go back to Philippians with me, chapter 4. You can find that roughly on page 1827, or close to that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. And then back to 1 Timothy 6. Just turn back a book or two in the Bible, about on page 1848. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've heard from your message today, from your word. May it speak to us as we learn about contentment and that it comes through you alone. And Lord, so may you just teach us that today. And Lord, may we come with a thankful heart today, knowing that you provide for us in a great way. Lord, your hand is always bountiful. Your hand is always open to us, wanting to bless us in many ways. And Lord, so we ask for your Spirit to be here today. And Lord, I pray for that Spirit to be upon me as well as I speak these words to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. Leaning on his fence one day, a devout Quaker, and if you know the Quaker religion, they live a very simple life. No luxuries whatsoever. He was watching a new neighbor move in next door. After all kinds of new modern appliances, electronic gadgets, plush furniture, and costly wall hangings had been carried in, the onlooker called over to his new neighbor and he said this to him, "If you find you're lacking anything, neighbor, let me know and I'll show you how to live without it." A couple of weeks ago, the worship committee asked for volunteers to do the 7 Project. Does anybody remember that project a few weeks ago? And maybe you weren't here, but she ran it for several weeks, they did. And so what this was about is that people within our congregation, there was 8 to 10 people that took part in this, and they had agreed to do some things in their life that were out of the ordinary. And so what they did is that for 7 days, they would choose something in their life that they would not do or they would do. Or maybe they'd go without something for 7 days and just see what that was like in their life, how God spoke to them and what changed in their lives. And so I got a few things that I'm going to share with you this morning of what that was like and what they actually did. I'm not going to mention anybody's name today, but you'll get the point of what I mean, of learning to live on less, and how that brings happiness and joy into someone's life as well. Here's what some of them did. Some chose to only wear 7 items of clothes for 1 week. They were allowed to wash them, but that's all they could wear. Some chose no social media of any kind. This is the tough one, the next one. Another person gave up desserts or anything sweet for 7 days. Some said they would work on their attitude and self-control intentionally for 7 days. Someone gave up all shopping, including groceries, for 7 days. Someone only ate 7 foods for the entire week as their diet. And what they learned was significant in their lives. They learned that what we think is important to us is really not that important to God, and that life can be better without some of this stuff. Others learned how selfish they were. Others learned that they need to trust God on a deeper level for the things that they've done without. Some could feel His presence through this journey as they journeyed closer to God, as when they thought they did without things, they remembered why they were doing them, and it drew them closer to God, especially slowing down and seeing God's precious moments in their life. I personally noticed, I took part in this as well, I personally noticed how much we have and that the abundance of things blind us to the work of God. I noticed that in my 7 days about there's so much going on, there's so much that we have to offer us in the world that we live in that we lose focus of God in our lives, and that brought me closer to God. And overall, when they turned in their reports to me and they shared different questions, this is what the overall comment was. God brought contentment and peace through this exercise to all those that joined in. And, you know, if I was to ask them, or if the worship committee was to ask them, would you do it again? I think all of them would say yes. I would do this again. It was a great experience. Getting closer to God, of being content in their life. So let me just talk to you about what is contentment. Let's answer that question first, because Paul lets us know that. The Apostle Paul wrote this: I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances that he found himself in. And you know that Paul left a hard life. Things were good. He was blessed. People cared for him. He's also stoned and beaten. But in all things, he was content in his life. Now, that's a pretty bold statement to make, isn't it? Knowing the things that he's gone through. Because he knew that contentment lies not in who he was, but who he belonged to as a child of God. When we come into a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, we understand whose we are and what we have. A lot of times we get that confused and we get mixed up in the world that we live in today. We think a lot of things are done by our hand. Often that's wrong. It's the work of God in our lives that brings us those blessings and the work that we do and the things that we have. So contentment invites me to look vertically to God. Because so many of us look horizontally for the things that we want in our life. How many of you plan to go shopping tomorrow or even tonight for Black Friday? A few of you, yeah, there's a few hands. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But my point is here is that often when we look horizontally, we look to the needs of what's going on in the world, the things we don't have, the things we want to have in the world, that the world has to offer us. And so we look horizontally at our neighbors, at our friends, at the guy down the road, or whoever it might be, the store that you might go visit tomorrow, and you might think, wow, that would be nice to have. There's nothing wrong with having possessions. But the thing is that God and Paul understood this, that we need to look vertically to God, not horizontally at the things in this life. And if we look vertically first to God for his blessing, we are very content in our lives. That's the point that Paul is trying to make to us this morning. Look vertically in your life, not horizontally. As soon as you look horizontally, I guarantee you, you will be discontent because you will want something that somebody else has in your life. Remember that when you're discontent. You begin to think, boy, I wish I had that. Or you might get a little jealous once in a while, and boy, if I can only have what that person has. Hold on to that thought. We're going to unpack that a little more here about what do we do about that when that happens in our lives. But let me share a little story with you first. Think about when we look vertically versus looking horizontally. Here's a little story I want to share with you about a guy who came into a pastor's office once. And this pastor wanted to try to encourage this person and get him to think about his life in the whole. And so this man came in. He was in the midst of a financial collapse. He lost everything. We've had some of that go on this past year, especially I know of some pretty good-sized cattle feeders this past year that have lost everything. And you could probably remember maybe a time in your life maybe when you lost everything. So the pastor had a conversation with this person, and this is what he began to have. In the midst of this financial collapse, I've lost everything, the man said. And the pastor said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Even your faith? And the man said, no, not my faith. Well, then I'm sad to hear that you lost your character then. And the man said, well, no, I didn't say that. I did not lose my character. Oh, the pastor said, I'm sorry to hear that you've lost your salvation then. And the man said, no, I didn't lose my salvation. The pastor said, then what are you worried about? Because everything that matters, you still have. The things of this world don't mean anything in the eyes of God. And the man thought for a while. And he realized in his life that he still had his faith, he still had his character, and he still had his salvation. And really everything else was meaningless. And he put things back into perspective within his life. Now, I don't know where you're at today in your faith journey. Maybe you've had a great year and you've been blessed and things have been abundant. And maybe you find yourself in a place today that's hard, it's difficult, life has not gone well. But always remember, you still have your faith, you still have your character, and you still have your salvation in your life. That's pretty important, isn't it? We have all those things, no matter how bad this world gets and what life will throw at you. Or maybe is throwing at you today. So for the Christian, contentment knows that if we have Jesus, we have enough in our life. So how do we be content? That's the next question I'd like to bring up to you. And we read that in Paul's letter to the Philippians. I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry. He understood that. And so contentment is learned. And if you were at the Thanksgiving message the other night at the community service, I also taught that Thanksgiving is learned. Those are not natural things that we have in our life. We need to teach our kids those things. Just like contentment, you need to learn to be content according to the Word of God and what that looks like for a believer in Jesus Christ. Not natural for you to be content. You have the desire to look horizontally in your life to the things that the world offers and what other people have. So you're not born with that. It's not a gift. You need to learn this in our life. You know, oftentimes our tendency is to look to other things that will bring us contentment. How many of you look ahead to special things that are going on in your life? I often do this. How many look ahead if you have a trip planned somewhere and you're going to go vacation somewhere or you're going to go see something or maybe you're going to travel and see family? Those are good things, but how many of you look forward to those types of things in your life? Anybody? Yeah, we all look forward to those types of things, don't we? And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, if you think about that in the eyes of being content in your life, what does that look like to you? When God says, be content, because he calls us to live day to day. Don't look too far ahead. You know, sometimes those things that are off in the distance can bring us joy, and we yearn for those things in our life. You know, and I'm not saying those are bad things or they're wrong, but find contentment from day to day. That's the challenge I'm going to give you. So let me ask you a few questions to challenge you with this morning. What is the one thing separating you from contentment and joy in your life? And maybe your life is filled with joy and you're content, and I pray that that's where you're at, and God bless you for that. But if you're not content, if you're yearning for something, or you think you're lacking something in your life, let me ask you the question that's on the screen this morning. How do you fill in this blank? I will be happy when you fill in the blank this morning. Let me throw a few ideas by you this morning so we'll help get your mind going here. I'll be happy when I am healed from whatever might be going on. I'll be happy when I'm promoted. I'll be happy when I'm married. I'll be happy when I'm single. I'll be happy when I'm rich. How would you finish that statement? Now, let me ask you another question. With your answer firmly in your mind, what if your dream never comes true? What if the situation never changes? Could you be happy? That's the real question. And if you're sitting there today thinking there's no way that I'll ever have joy or ever be happy till I get this or I get that in my life, then you're wrapped up in the claws of discontentment in this world, in your life. And now, be honest with you, there will be times in your life where we'll all find ourselves there, where we're discontent about something maybe in our lives, and we truly don't understand maybe what's going on. And so let me go a little further with that so you understand that. Where does contentment reside? That's the next question. Contentment comes from your heart. That's where it resides, in your heart. And so contentment is denying one's feelings about wanting or desiring what you can have. That's really the definition of what that is. So contentment isn't pretending things are right when they're not, because we know that we have things going on in our life that we're not happy with, or we don't desire, or maybe things we desire more of. You know, that's natural. You're going to fight that all the time in your life. But contentment is figuring out, how do you deal with the issue in your heart when you have those types of desires or wants or needs? Where do you find joy in that? Where do you find happiness as you go through life in that? Because I'll be real honest with you, life is not fair. Life will never be fair. Somebody will always have it better than you. And there will always be somebody that will have it worse than you. That will always be there. So where do you find joy and happiness in that part of life? Hear this. Contentment is not based on external things, but rather on an internal source within your life. Most people thirst for what the Apostle Paul has: an enduring contentment, a deep down soul satisfying contentment where you're at peace with everything in the world, everything around you in your life. And that kind of contentment can only come from within. Contentment is always an inside job within your heart. And I'll give you one word that comes from one person in your life that can work in your heart, that takes away those desires, that you are content to live in this world. And that one person is Jesus Christ. You will try very hard to fill that need with external things, stuff, desires, wants, experiences, and you'll work hard for it till you figure it out that it's an internal thing that can only be satisfied through a relationship with Jesus Christ in your life. I imagine the gears are turning right now, aren't they? So what's going on inside of you right now? What are you thinking? What are you feeling in your life? What's the one thing that maybe you're not content with today? And so let me just go a little bit further. Contentment is of the will. And we talk about the will, we talk about our heart and our desires. And so we know we have to have the willingness to accept God for what He provides in our life. The things that you have, the place that you find yourself in, the world that you live in today. And so we accept, therefore, from God's hand, which He gives to you and I, all at different places, all experiencing different things in the world that we live in today. It's not about your neighbor. It's not about your best friend. But it's about you and God and the things that He's provided in your life. Because all that is needful, it says, He will supply in your life. You know, if we fail to surrender that to God, you will be forever discontent. You will live a life that's not very enjoyable, a life that's hard, a life that you're never happy with, one that's maybe, full of desire and maybe jealousy, and it ruins relationships and so on in your life. But if you can find contentment in your life and you can fill that with Jesus Christ, you will no longer live in bondage to the things of this world. There's great peace in that. That's what these people that took the 7 challenge did a few weeks ago. They found great peace in giving away some of those things and drawing closer to God in their lives. I know some of us, I've been talking with you and I've got to know you this past 5 or 6, 7 years. And and we figured this out too, at least I have and Dory have. Sometimes the simpler the life, the better the life, isn't it? Sometimes the simpler the life, the better the life. What things do you invite in? Where do you find contentment in the world that you live in today? Think about that in your life. So let me share with you just a few things about the secret of contentment. Now, I'm sorry if the screen's a little light today with the sun shining in, but I'll go through these. And so here's the secret to contentment in your life and your heart. There's 4 things I'm going to rattle off and go through here pretty quickly this morning. But the first one is that you need to understand the cross. That's your first thing that you need to understand in your heart. For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. Philippians 1 verse 21. You need to understand what Jesus did in your life. That's the bedrock of everything you need to believe as a follower in Jesus Christ. The cornerstone of your contentment rests right on this desire, this relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the next thing you need to do to find contentment. You need to let go of the past in your life. Things that have gone on, things that have happened to you, things you've experienced, whether good or bad or whatever, especially if you can't forgive somebody for something or maybe you can't forgive yourself for something, you need to let go of the past because those motivations drive your desire for discontentment in your life. In Philippians, Paul said this, "Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead." That's the key in your life. You got to let the past go and you got to move on and look at what God's doing in your life and where He's blessing you and using you. You can never hope to gain contentment while holding on to the past failures and mistakes of others or yourself. You need to move on for those. The third thing I'm going to challenge you to do in your life is you need to live day to day. Don't live for tomorrow. Live for today. Look at the people that are in your life. Look at the family that you're surrounded with. Look at what you're going to do today. Now, maybe the holidays are a hard time for you right now, and maybe you've lost a loved one this past year and so on. But look at the joys and the blessings that God still brings. Search those out in your life. Live day to day. God doesn't call us to live down the road 2 weeks from now. God says, I'll supply your needs for this day. Tomorrow has enough of its own problems. He'll take care of that tomorrow. But you find contentment when you can live day to day. Don't worry about what the future looks like. And the fourth thing, find sufficiency in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 13, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. That's what Paul said. You know, we think of sufficiency as being kind of a self-sufficiency where I can do it myself. I can take care of my own life. I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. I have enough assets and whatever it might be that I can take care of things. But that's not what this context of this word is talking about. What it's talking about in this text is that it's being at peace with Christ's sufficiency of what he supplies you in your life. Not what you desire, but being at peace with what Christ supplies you in your life. And then only Christ can generate that contented spirit. A person who finds contentment has learned that Jesus is enough in all situations. Now that can be easily said, but harder to do. But that's where you want to move in your life. You know, think about this for a moment. You know, if you have Jesus, you have a God who hears you. You have the power of love behind you. You have the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And all of heaven ahead of you. That's pretty joyous to celebrate, isn't it? If you have Jesus, you have grace for every sin that you commit when you ask for forgiveness. You have direction for every turn in your life. You have a candle for every corner that you think is a dark, lonely place, and an anchor for every storm that will come into your life. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need today in this world. Can cancer affect your eternal salvation? Can bankruptcy impoverish your prayers? A tornado or a fire might take your earthly home, but nothing will ever touch your heavenly home, ever, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. That's a lot to be thankful for. I pray that you find contentment and that you're thankful for Jesus Christ and the salvation that you have. Happy Thanksgiving today. And all of God's people said,